contributed a great deal in the community college area on the State University Board of Trustees, and I had a lot of respect for Vaughn Golden. My respect for him was born of one time when Boyd Doler said, and was quoted in the newspapers as saying, that Frank Moore, through his city school fiscal relationship and constitutional tax and debt limit program, and his advice on financing, had saved the city of Utica from what would have been municipal bankruptcy. When Moore was running for lieutenant governor, I asked Boyd Golder if I could use this quote by a Democrat mayor of a very big city in the state of New York in a campaign literature and ad for Frank Moore. And Boyd Golder said yes. He said, he's a Republican and I'm a Democrat, but he is a damn fine man. And yes, I said it, and yes, I meant it, and it's as true today as it was then. Well, Carl, unless you've been immersed in politics, it's difficult to comprehend the courage that it takes for an important individual in one political party to say that of another important individual in another political party, and particularly when the individual whom you are praising is the Republican opponent of your Democrat candidate, who happened to come from the same area. So Boyd Golder knew me, and I knew Boyd, and parenthetically, he got a lot of flack out of that. So when the question went around the table, did anybody know Larry Murray? Several people said, well, yes, they did, etc. Boyd Golder said, I've only one comment to make about Larry Murray. He said, he's the only man I know who was not educated beyond his intelligence. Now that brought a big chuckle, I'm told, around the board. And that sort of ended the questioning, as it were, because it became a, how do you top this kind of arrangement? But he touched on something which I'm sure many people ask themselves questions about. I never got to college for one reason or another. The most important reason being that we didn't have any money. I had a scholarship to Union, but I couldn't use it because somebody had to go to work in the family. And my brother was a year behind me in school, so I went to Union, and I had always admired them for, and give them credit for what they did. I asked that the scholarship that they granted to me could be transferred to my brother, assuming he maintained the same degree of scholastic achievement that I had, and they agreed. So today my brother is an electrical engineer. He worked for the Navy Bureau of Ships for some 40-odd years. Designed the equipment on the aircraft carrier Franklin D. Roosevelt, got a Navy commendation because he designed equipment that the German sonar couldn't pick up because it ran so quietly, etc. And I turned to be a newspaper reporter. But in the process, I got a real dedication to promoting higher education for students, for kids everywhere. And I think, Carl, as a result of that experience in my own life, I got a dedication to making the State University go, making it grow, making it a really viable, important factor in the state of New York, and making it competitive with the universities who are decades ahead of us all around the country, and a drive to get things moving for the State University that perhaps would escape other people who hadn't had their own particular experience in that direction. And this is what thrust me then into the State University picture. That's a bit of personal history. I don't think I've ever told anybody.
These things are very important. This is one of the things that I want to get. You can get the what, when, and where answers, as a rule, but you don't always get the who and the why and the how answers.
Well, that's part of the who and the why.
Yeah.
And
let's stop there for a minute and switch to Dewey for just a minute, because one thing that is missing in anything that I have read is why he appointed the M Commission, why he stood behind the legislation or after it passed, and what his attitude was towards the State University, the development of the State University. Do you have a picture of that?
Well, I have a picture of it, probably it's perhaps sketchy and not as detailed as someone might wish. I was a newspaper man, as I think I said, covering the legislature at that time. The pressure for there to be a state university was building and building over a period of years after the war. When I say after the war, I'm talking about World War II here.
Right.
And the pressure came about in many respects because of the inability of Jewish students to get into medical school. The medical schools, somehow or other, had admission practices which, for want of a better description, had some kind of ethnic bias to them. I used to joke and say that I couldn't understand anybody's concern because the Irish always had difficulty getting into anything except a bar. And then the people would laugh, but basically the pressures came about from that. And it came about from a lot of downstate people, downstate legislators, etc. And then there were a group of people around Tom Dewey who really, Frank Moore for one, felt a dedication to there being a state university program.
I think New York was the last to create.
New York was the last. New York was the last. And we were 100 years behind the others. I think California and Michigan, those people were 100 years ahead of us. And we had a lot of catching up to do. The reason it took so long is because the private colleges in the state of New York, private universities, were absolutely deadly opposed to there being a publicly financed system of higher education. The regents were opposed to this. So there was some formidable opposition.
Right.
I think Governor Dewey's, as I recall, his attitude was not gung-ho for a state university system, but he was responding to getting a solution to the problem of providing higher educational opportunities for more and more students in the medical field as well as others. And he was responding in the way that Tom Dewey responded always to problems. He was a highly intelligent individual. He had an insight, an incisiveness to him, which may have escaped a lot of people. I worked for him as his press secretary for a period of time on loan from Frank Moore's office when his press secretary Haggerty went to Washington to serve Eisenhower. Well, Jim Haggerty was down and serving Eisenhower, and Dewey, and I was down helping Dewey at that time. And Dewey wanted me to take on a job as his press secretary. And here's four more of the background of where Larry Murray comes from.
Dewey was a graduate of Michigan.
Yeah. Frank Moore said to Larry, I don't want you to do that. He said, I'd like you to stay with me, you know. And Eisenhower was elected, etc. So I said, well, I agree. I think I should stay with you because I started with you, I ought to finish with you. And so I declined that. And And then I was put on the spot because they said, well, who would you recommend? Well, I didn't go around recommending very many people then or now, as a matter of fact. But I said, I'd recommend we get Harry O'Donnell because he's an Associated Press Bureau Chief. He's just left to be a PR to follow in my job in the Department of Water and Control, as a matter of fact. So he hasn't been there long enough to be so ingrained there that his removal would be a problem. So we got Harry out of there. But Dewey had that ability to determine what ought to happen on the facts.
He was a problem identifier.
And then he was a doer.
Yeah.
But he also had a great ability to filter any political factors into the decision-making process. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is what led to the creation of the Young Commission, and it also was part of, I'm sure, Frank Moore's ideas, because Frank Moore was one who always believed in having committees or commissions or citizens attack a problem with professional staff people providing the answers to questions and providing the information from which conclusions could be drawn. And some of the individuals who subsequently served on the State University Trustees were members of the original Young Commission. And that's how the university came to pass. Parenthetically, when I came into the university, one of the first things that I did behind the scenes was insist that the I had to insist that the medical schools take applicants' pictures off their application. I said, that's how things start to happen.
All right.
Well, go on. I hate to interrupt you, but I mean, this is good.
Stonybrook, well, probably in that next, after I came to the university officially, in the next time period, there was a great deal of controversy in the State University administration, brought on by some of the events which were taking place, some of the poor administration which was taking place. And
this was under Harriman.
Harriman was the governor.
He was the governor. Sputnik had come.
Carlson was the president of the State University. The State University trustees, as I recall, about sometime in 1956, came up with a plan for creation of a four-year college on Long Island, which was basically initially designed to provide for training of teachers for secondary schools and community colleges in the science fields, in the math fields, because there had been identified a dearth of teachers of that competence in the school system. And so there was a thrust for that kind of a program, and it also, there was a thrust to have a four-year college program on Long Island.
Was Sputnik 56 or 57?
I think, well, no, 57, as I recall, because it had an interesting bearing on things. And the university trustees also proposed at that time that there be a college of engineering there. This was, in a sense, responding to, as I recall, some kinds of studies, and I'm not sure the genesis of the studies. It may have been the Regents or the State Ed Department or somebody that there seemed to be a gap between the number of engineering colleges, science colleges in New York State, and the need for such programs. In the numbers of graduates in that field. And this then responded to that sort of thing. And that program was advanced in 56. There was considerable discussion about it, I'm sure, between the Regents and the State University people. And then along came Sputnik. And my recollection is that Sputnik was about early fall of 57, sometime in there. All of a sudden it got thrust onto the stage in the United States, and particularly New York, that we were irons behind in the idea that there should be high technology, as it were. The fact that the Russians were able to do this, and that we weren't even close, dismayed people. And I know it dismayed ordinary citizens who had somehow or other always believed that the science and technological ability of the United States was far superior to whatever. And we had just finished demonstrating it through World War II, and here we were, only 10 years later or so, being told that we were behind. And this seriously concerns individuals like Moore and others. And it was, I think, an impetus for getting approval of this program in Long Island more quickly than would have been the case. So that, as I recall, I know that the Regents' approval of the program came, a little while after I came to the university as its secretary, and which maybe would have made their approval December, January, somewhere around that time period.
Right.
Now, in the meantime, of course, the university was a fortunate benefactor of Ward Melville, who donated a large tract of land to the State University for the development of a college there.
That came about before you joined the State University.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out who took the initiative there, or whether Ward was interested, as I think he was chairman of the local school board, and also on the Suffolk Industrial Commission, and was aware of the discussions about an institute of higher education on Long Island.
I think that that's probably how it initiated with him and with Mrs. Melville, who had some concern in this direction also, as I recall. But in any event, they were most generous in proposing the donation of this home of theirs, their estate, for this
Sunwood.
Purpose.
Well, Sunwood was on the Smithtown Bay, an arm of the Sound. And
in a word about that, too, I can recall, these things are kind of disjointed. At one point, when I was expediting the construction and development of the university center there, all of a sudden, our lawyer, John Crary, a delightfully fine individual, good lawyer, but with a real sense of how you can accomplish things. I used to tell Jack he was the best lawyer government had, because I said, I don't need a lawyer that tells me I can't do something. I need a lawyer that tells me how to do it. I'll tell you what I want to do. You tell me how to do it legally. Don't tell me I can't do it, because I'm going to do it anyway. Well, anyway, Jack said, Larry, you're building on developing land we don't own. I said, wait a minute. How come? Well, the how come was because under the terms of the gift, the university was to be given parcels of land over a period of time as it fit the tax structure of the Melvilles.
Yes.
And as a consequence, our thrust ahead was to develop the property faster than the tax structure was bringing it into our ownership. And Jack cautioned that you can't do this. I said, well, you'll get together with Mr. Melville's attorneys and you fellows figure out. I can tell you what we need to have here and here, how quickly we have to have it, and where it's best to have it. You figure out how to put that parcel or parts of it or whatever into our possession. I said, I don't care if we don't own a foot outside the foundation, just as long as we own what we're doing, which is how it started. Now, coincident with this time period, and again going back to a lot of Frank Moore's concerns, the university was not able to get from the general tax structure of the state the kinds of financing it needed to move in the development of the university as rapidly as it seemed necessary to go.
Hold it. I just don't want to have this thing stop. I'm going to go over to the next side. Here. Thank you.
coming directly to employment at St. Lucie's, then it took care of the spot, the time. But yeah, that would have been from early 1955 until the middle of 57. No, November 57, when I came to St. Lucie's officially. During that time period, developing the government relations program, we had a great deal of success. I found that the General Electric management generally was far less informed about government and about how things in government happened than I had even thought. Some of the programs we developed at that time are still being practiced. But then one day I had a phone call from Jim Allen, who was the Commissioner of Education. And Jim Allen has been involved with us in many kinds of activities in the educational field, and he knew me, and was a longtime friend of Ken Ward and myself. And Jim asked me if I would come and talk with him and the Chancellor Cooper of the Board of Regents about becoming Assistant Commissioner of Education for Public Relations. So I went and talked to him. And after some discussion, I accepted the job. Because my relationship with Frank Moore was warm and friendly and respectful.
What was only just that?
Frank Moore at that time was no longer the lieutenant governor. He was still running the Government Affairs Foundation for Nelson Rockefeller. But he was still Moore was still the chairman of the State University Trustees.
Right.
And I called him as a matter of courtesy in a friendly way to say that I had accepted a job with the Board of Regents as a Commissioner for Public Relations. Well, this is a self-serving kind of a statement, but it sort of indicates how things happen. Frank Moore said, we can't, meaning the State University, we can't afford having you working for them, meaning the region. And I started to laugh. I said, well, I said, you know me. I said, I call them like they are. I said, you know, I said, I think I can probably make a good contribution to both districts, just through my involvement in this. So Moore says, give me 24 hours. I said, for what? He said, if you're going to lose me, he said, I think you ought to go to State University. Well, at that time, the University Trustees, this was early fall of 57, had just finished promoting John Slocum from Secretary of the University to another position. The title was, I forgot, I think. Subsequently, it was titled the Vice President of the Administration. Something like that.
And where did he come from?
Tom, I don't recall. I really don't recall what that. He was married. The position of Secretary of the University happened to be vacant. Moore had a discussion with the trustees and they came back to me and said, we want you to come to the State University as Secretary of the University. And we appreciate you doing this. Well, then I had to make a decision to that. And this probably had a good deal of this decision probably had a great bearing on what happened in the State University from that day on. The decision I had to make was, do I keep my commitment to the Regents and to Commissioner Allen, or do I stay with Frank Moore? So out of loyalty to Frank Moore, for whom I had worked and with whom I had worked for quite some time then, I decided that I would talk to Chancellor Cooper and to Jim Allen about it. And I did. Both of them were extremely gracious individuals. And both said, in effect, Larry, we can understand your relationship with Frank. We think that perhaps you should do what your heart tells you you'd like to do. We surely want to have you here, but if you want to go with the university, we can then I talked with Frank Muir, who in the meantime had talked with the cooper and whatever. So the thing worked out anyway. That I made the decision to go with the State University. And that's how I came to the university officially on the 1st of November of 57. And I stepped into the situation that for the next 7 years is pretty unbelievable. Because of all the individuals involved in the State University, I probably had the most to do with its growth and development, and the most influence upon any part of the university trustees' decision-making process, because I was in a position to do that.
And what month in 57?
1st of November.
1st of November.
Matter of fact, I was appointed, I was down in the playing field, the Cola State, before the trustees met at Cola State playing field in November of that year. And I was asked to be present to be interviewed by the board, and subsequently was appointed by the board at that time to the position of secretary of the university. Coincidentally, it was a story that makes me chuckle sometimes when I think of it. The Olympic mayor of Utica,